Good evening, and welcome to the Tao of June, living an inspired life. I'm not sure if this is actually something that falls into that category of living an inspired, I guess so, maybe. But let's just talk about it and we'll see. What I want to talk about is Chris D'Elia. I was a huge fan of Chris D'Elia. I first found out about him through Brian Callen's podcast. And if you guys don't know who these people are, they're just comedians who have podcasts, and they have a few Netflix specials. You know, they're famous in the comedian world, the comedy world, if you follow that. But if not, that's okay. These are just people that I looked up to because I enjoyed their comedy. I enjoyed their sense of humor. They made me laugh. Helped me get through some tough times, you know, just by getting my mind off of it and just laughing at some silly things that they were saying. And so I really appreciated them. I really appreciated their work. And I'm not to group them all together. I'm just saying I appreciated Chris D'Elia for his comedy and his podcast. Congratulations. You know, because it got me through a lot of just tough times. Shoot, I was self-quarantined for a few weeks, and I would just watch Chris D'Elia and listen to his podcast, and you know, listen to The Fighter and the Kid. That's Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub's podcast, very popular podcast called The Fighter and the Kid. So The Fighter is Brendan and the Kid is Brian Callen, for a while it confused me because Brian Callen's so old. I was like, it doesn't make sense. But anyway, that is the joke, and Brian the Kid Callen is what he goes by. Anyways, so I was watching them on YouTube. I turn on their podcast while I work sometimes, you know, just to laugh. But they curse a lot. They curse a lot. They say a lot of inappropriate things. So when a client comes walking in, I have to, you know, reach over and turn it off quickly. But anyways, that's where I first found out about Chris D'Elia. He was a guest on their show, and he would just roast Brian Callen. And it was so funny, the way the two of them would go back and forth. So funny. And because you could see it was all in good fun, and they love each other. And then I started listening to his podcast. And then I found out about their 10-minute podcast. And I would listen to the 10-minute podcast, like, on my drives down to Florida when I was driving down to Orlando to groom Charlie. It was like a 10-hour drive, you know, 8 to 10-hour drive. And when I drive up to Tennessee sometimes, just to pass the time, because each podcast episode is 10 minutes. That's why they call it the 10-minute podcast. And it's just really stupid, really stupid. And I enjoy that. Possibly because I'm stupid. But I enjoy that kind of comedy. And I really appreciated, you know, all the work and all the stuff they put out, the content. But then, just this past week, I think it was, I mean, it's what, Thursday now? Yeah, I think really on Monday I found out about it. Was it Monday? I don't know. Anyways, just recently, it's come out on Twitter. These young women have come out, several of them, exposing Chris D'Elia as a quote-unquote pedophile. And that's what I want to talk about. Because I don't think we should be using that term, you know, so loosely. A pedophile is someone who is sick, mentally ill, right? And it's a mental condition, pedophilia. Because I don't think that a healthy, normal adult would be turned on in any way. Excited, you know, sexually excited when they see a child, you know? And if they do, that's a mental illness. That is a mental sick. They're sick, in my opinion. And they should be treated differently. You know, we should treat it as a mental illness and try to get them some help, you know, and try to, I don't know. I don't have the answers. But I do know that if I ever caught a pedophile coming around my kids, you know, that's it. That's a game over. You know what I'm saying? That's it. it would not be good for anybody involved. It would not be good because it just the thought of it makes my blood boil, you know? It makes me feel so angry. So I don't know if we should use that word for what Chris D'Elia has done, though. What he did was very creepy. I understand. Creepy, yes. But, you know, I mean, should we ruin a man's career for being creepy? Because so many people are creepy, you know? I come across as creepy sometimes, and I catch myself like, oh, man, that was creepy. You know? So, I mean, that's just how guys are. We're creepy. And he just got caught. And the thing is, okay, so what happened was on Twitter, somebody wrote that, isn't it, like, it was like the literal irony that, you know, he was cast as a pedophile on You, and he is one in real life. And she shared, and I don't know if it was her, but several people then started sharing on that thread screenshots of, and copies of emails, like, you know, screenshots of emails back and forth from Chris D'Elia and themselves when they were 16, 17, when they were underage. And some were 16, some were 17 at the time. And they're all of age now because it happened like 6, 7 years ago, like back in, I think some of the emails were like 2014. I don't know. But anyways, so, it has come to light that Chris D'Elia creeped on some underage females, young ladies that were not, you know, under the age of 18. And that's what we found out. And then his friends, Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub, on that podcast that I told you about, The Fight and the Kid, they mentioned it. They brought it up. And Brian Callen was trying to, you know, distance himself. You know, he was like, he's still a friend, but, you know, he was like, I have not seen or heard or anything, you know. And then Brendan Schaub started crying, and then he started saying, like, I'm just so mad. I'm mad at him, you know, and he was just crying. And I was thinking, why? Why would you be mad at him like that and cry? Like, they're treating it like someone died or something, you know? It's like, what's going on? I was thinking, okay, what's come out? As soon as I found out the news, because I'm a Chris D'Elia fan. I follow him on Instagram and everything. Anyways, it popped up on my radar, and I was like, oh my goodness, just seeing how, and I found out literally from Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub bringing it up on their podcast, and I was like, oh shit. And then I Googled it and started looking into it, and I started reading the screenshots between him and the girls, and I was like, oh man, this does not look good. I was thinking, this is really bad. And then the next day or so, I think it was on Wednesday, like yesterday, or no, I think it was on Tuesday, he came, Chris D'Elia came with the receipts, like Andrew Schultz said. So Andrew Schultz is another comedian, and he was like, he came with them receipts. So Chris D'Elia shot back this past week with copies of the emails, so you can see the full transcript. And it was showing what we did not see in those screenshots, you know, and showing that those young ladies only showed the parts where it made it look really creepy, but they didn't show what was said before and after. And so he released that. And it shows that on a few of them, he asked, you know, how old are you anyways? And she said, 12. And he responds with all caps, answer. And she responds, 24, with a question mark. And like, haha. And, you know, they continue on with the conversation. And it is I think that it was a mistake on his part to continue a conversation when he did not get a straight answer. And he should have been more careful, I believe. And then another one, she said that she's 16 in the conversation thread. She tells him she's 16, and he says, "Oh, my bad. Bye. I thought you were 18. You got to, you know," he was saying, like, you're at the I thought you were at the show, and you got to be 18 at least to be at the show, at his comedy stand-up show. And then he left, you know, he didn't answer. And then one of the girls, when he asked her how old she, he's like, "How old are you anyways?" And she said, like, I don't know if I have all the details. Maybe this was one where he first contacted her when she was not 18 yet. And then he contacted her later. And she was like, "Hey, I'm 21. I'm down to fuck. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, DTF. And he didn't respond. And so with that, it's like, okay. You know, I mean, after he found out that she was underage, even though she came back later and said, "I'm 21 and I'm DTF, he just ignored her, you know? And then people called her out on it and saying how she's just trying to get some clout, you know, just trying to get some attention and stuff, because she's just mad at him because, you know, she offered and he didn't reply. He ignored her. And then she came back with the, you know, with the explanation and defending herself, saying that, you know, she was just showing that he still engaged in a conversation with her when he knew that she was underage, and that was the point. And she was like, you know, saying, you know, thanks for making, you know, making it so worth, you know, coming out about or something, you know, like. And it is true. It's like, you know, we should listen, you know, to what they're saying. But also, I guess there is that other part where, you know, some young ladies, they do, I mean, let's just admit it, it's reality. Some young ladies have been known to use celebrities kind of, you know, to get, to start, you know, to get a name for themselves, at, you know, and things like that, or try to, you know, for some personal gain. And I don't know. Like, I'm not attracted to, you know, kids. or, you know, like, even 17, 18-year-olds. I just feel like, let them mature. You know, like, I'm interested in women. Like, I like a woman, you know? So, for me, I you know, but, okay, for Chris D'Elia, though, let's just say, because everybody's different. I understand that. We all have our preferences. We like what we like. And it seems like he likes the younger. So Andrew Schultz said, you know, maybe he's not a pedophile, but he was like, as soon as a girl blows out that 18th candle on her birthday cake, he's right there. Anyways, so he obviously likes his females younger. And so he likes the very young ladies. And I can't judge a man for that. Because I remember one time I was on a road trip down to Florida with one of my friends. And we met a girl, a young lady, in a gas station. And my friend was, you know, talking to her and kind of flirting with her and everything. And again, you know, I recognize that she's attractive. I'm not going to say, "Oh, man, you know, she's not attractive." No, she's very attractive. I can recognize that. Just like I can recognize, you know, that, you know, what's that guy that plays Thor? Chris Hemsworth or Hugh Jackman. I can recognize that these are very handsome men, you know, like Captain America, all of them. Even Iron Man, right? Robert Downey Jr., very handsome man. I can recognize that, but it doesn't make me gay. You know what I'm saying? And in the same way, I recognize that when a very attractive young lady is in the room, Yeah, it's like, wow, she's very attractive. And of course it'd be exciting, just as much as I would be excited when I see a really good looking guy. Anyways, but not that way. But my personal preference is kind of the older type. Anyways, his preference seems to be the younger type. And I remember at the gas station, that was my point. At the gas station, he was flirting with this young lady, and she tells him that she's 17. And he was like, 17? And he was like, oh man. And she was like, smiling, and I just walked away. But anyways, in the car, he was like, dude, how old do you think she looked like? And I was like, maybe 22, 23. He was like, yeah, right. He was like, even if she told me she was 24, and she did. She looks very developed for a 17-year-old. If she told me she was 22 years old, I would have said, yep. So I understand that some young ladies do mature faster, but I think that when you're Chris D'Elia, when you're somebody who's that famous, you gotta be careful, You gotta be careful, and you gotta be wise, and you have to, I don't know, I think asking someone for their ID is a bit much. That's, what are you, a cop or something? You're making a citizen's arrest or something? But I think you have to look for, and why risk it even? If you have to ask a girl, like, how old are you really? And then she says 18, and kind of smiles, and you have to wonder, like, is she lying? Or why even bother with that? With there's so many other fish in the sea, so to speak, so many other opportunities. Why even risk your career over the, because let's face it, his career is over, right? His agency's dropped him, and I think he's fired from his show that he was on TV. Even his previous co-star, he used to be on a show where he played a girl's boyfriend, Whitney, and she's a comedian as well, Whitney Cummins. Anyways, she even like denounced him pretty much. It was like, this is horrible news. All his friends pretty much looks like they're like turning their backs on him, and I don't know. I think that if he were, because this is like borderline, right? He's like having to question, which I think that was his mistake. He really should have just stuck with the sure thing, where you look at a female and you're like, yeah, she's every bit of 45 or 30. She's every bit of 35 years old. Yeah, it shows. She there's some, so she's been through some experiences, in life. But that's how I like my females. You give me some freaking wrinkles. Give me some freaking stretch marks. You know what I'm saying? I want a woman who has lived. You know what I'm saying? I want a freaking woman who knows some things, some wisdom in that bed. Anyways, that's just me. But but with Chris, I feel like, it's okay to be attracted to younger women like that, younger ladies in their 21 years old, just out of college, starting life. Of course, like, if that's your thing. But it is creepy though, right? Come on, he's 39 years old. He's the same age as me. Come on. It's like, even I know, like, oh man, even though you really like this girl and she's attractive, you know better. You should, right? And especially because you're Chris D'Elia and you're famous. And that's, I think, another problem that people are having with him, is that he used that fame for evil. When you have power, you have a choice to use it for good or evil. With great power comes great responsibility, and he was irresponsible with it. And even in his apology, he came out with a Twitter apology saying, that he allowed himself to get caught up in his lifestyle, and that's totally his fault, and he owns it, and he'll try to do better. You know, it's like, I think that's what people are upset about, that he used his power for evil, you know, to try to, you know, get these younger girls in bed. But I get it. You know, like, he doesn't drink, he doesn't do any drugs, right? And I feel bad for him. I think it was Oscar Wilde, was it? Or who was it? I think it was Oscar Wilde. But he said, I feel bad for anyone who doesn't drink or smoke or do any drugs, because when they wake up in the morning, that's about as good as they're going to feel all day. And I thought that was so funny. But anyways, I like alcohol, you know, I love CBD, I love THC, anyways, enough about me, we're talking about Chris D'Elia. But he doesn't imbibe in any of those vices, right? He doesn't do any of that. His friends even say that. And a waitress that used to work at the Laugh Factory, you can see I've done a lot of research on this, because I want to know. I was so disappointed at first. I was so heartbroken, like devastated. And I was so like, oh my God, you know, like I was such a fan of his. And now to be, you know, like, oh my God, you know. And so I started getting fascinated, like, okay, you know, there's more to the story. Let me figure out, you know, what's going on, and what, maybe try to understand, you know, what's going on in his head, you know. But even that waitress in this YouTube video, she used to work at the Laugh Factory when he would go there regularly and perform stand-up comedy there in LA. She said that he's very strange. She said that he's not like the other comedians. The other comedians, they hang around and drink, and they hit on the cocktail waitresses, and they hit on other, you know, women and the stuff. He doesn't do any of that. She said he just keeps his head down. He gets up when it's his turn. He does his work and he leaves. And she's saying because she always just, you know, figured because he doesn't drink and he doesn't do any drugs, or he doesn't do any of that, so he just doesn't want to hang around, and you know, it's not really fun for him, so he just leaves. And she was saying that when he's on the road touring, you know, going from city to city, he's on the tour bus. She's saying like it's got to be lonely for him. And because he doesn't hang out and drink and stuff like that like other people do. So what does he do? He goes on Instagram and Twitter and sees these, you know, pretty little things, right? Pretty young ladies. And he's like, hey, I'm Chris D'Elia and I'm in town. I see you live here, you know, like, let's hook up. That's pretty creepy. That's not one of the messages. I'm just saying, for example. And even that example is just pretty creepy, right? So, I mean, there's really nothing you can say in a DM when you slide in someone's DM. There's really nothing you can say that's not creepy. I mean, so, anyways, you know, I think... But he just had a baby, you know, him and his partner just had a child. And I mean, you gotta know that this is gonna cause problems in their relationship. You gotta know that, right? I mean, I had problems in my relationship and I never even did anything. Imagine what kind of problems he's having right now with his new wife, or I'm not sure if they're married, but new partner, his, you know, girlfriend. That he just had a baby with. Imagine what kind of problems they're having right now. The arguments, you know, the tension, even when they're not arguing. So that's gotta be rough. And I know that after my first child, shoot, when Ava, my her first daughter was born. This is 12 years ago because she's turning 12. Anyways, she's turning 12 next week. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness. Anyway, can you believe I have a 12-year-old daughter? Ugh, I cannot believe that. Anyways, so when she was born and my wife, you know, because the morphine, was it morphine? No, you know, the epidural that they give you, you know, I think it's like morphine, isn't it? Anyways, whatever it is, you know, it had her feeling really good. And after the delivery, yeah, they told me, you know, let her rest. And so I tucked her in, she was resting. And then I went up to the nursery and I saw my daughter, you know, just laying there, just so beautiful, so perfect. And even now, like, I get emotional, you know, just thinking about it. And I always felt, all of a sudden it hit me, like, I would do anything to provide a good life for this baby, you know. I will do anything I possibly can to try to be a good father. And then, like, what if I can't, though? What if I'm not a good dad? And what if I can't provide for her? You know, I'm like, I could barely provide for myself right now, you know. Like, how am I supposed to, like, what? And so then I ran out to the car and I started crying, you know, packed myself a bowl, you know, smoking a nice bowl, just thinking to myself, this is it. I can't enjoy this kind of stuff anymore. I'm a dad, you know, like everything's gotta change, you know, like I'm not ready for this, you know. I was crying, feeling emotional. I remember after having my first child, I was the most emotional I ever been in my entire life. And just imagine what he's going through, what Chris D'Elia is going through right now. He just had his first child, you know? And I know he always jokes around about how rich he is and no dents. But trust me, somebody who's really rich feels no need, and they might even feel embarrassed to joke around about how rich they are if they were really rich. I mean, I'm sure he was doing well. He's probably doing much better than most people, but for his agencies and to just cut him off now, they fired him, they're not working with him anymore. You know, he's pretty much blacklisted in Hollywood. Even his You co-star said something to the effect of he's very disappointed and he's shocked that they were a safe ground for, you know, a predator, a sexual predator. And I mean, he's done. I mean, even if he, because there's no charges being, there, nobody filed any charges from what I know so far. I don't think it's going to court, but I don't think it has to. You know, in the court of social media, you know, in the court of social opinion, he's already been fried. And even if he can come back from this and show that he actually isn't, he didn't do anything illegal, he didn't actually engage in sexual activity with a minor, even if he can prove that, I mean, still, his reputation is tarnished. He's done, right? Imagine that. The feeling of your income, the way you earn an income by, you know, getting up on stage, selling tickets, you know, selling seats, getting people to come to your show, selling your Netflix special, you know, because I think Netflix is pulling his specials off their platform. I think everyone's like just, you know, done with him. Imagine feeling like your source of income is taken away from you. I actually mentioned this in my live stream on YouTube today while I was grooming a dog, that sometimes I just, for no reason, start worrying, like, what if I lose my eyesight, you know? Like, what if I go blind one day, just wake up blind? You know, like, I won't be able to groom dogs anymore because I have to see what I'm cutting, you know? And I know that that's stupid to do that, but, you know, I come from a long line of worriers. I am so good at work, just worrying for no reason. And I'm getting better at that, though. I just tell myself, you know, really, really, though, But the thought of that, even just the thought of losing my eyesight and not being able to, you know, my source of income is grooming dogs. Not being able to do that and my source of income being cut off, it scares me, you know, a little bit. Imagine what Crystalia is feeling right now. You know, the 10-minute podcast, the podcast I was telling you about, they actually pulled that podcast. If you look for it on YouTube, it's not there anymore. They just deleted the channel, the 10-minute podcast. They have 10-minute podcast clips that you can listen to. So, I mean, it's still out there. But the channel itself is just done. It's gone. They just took it down. You know, it's like, it says a lot how his friends are reacting. It maybe tells me that maybe they weren't sure, but they kind of had a feeling that he was creepy or you know, and doing things that, you know, are kind of frowned upon, but they weren't really sure, maybe, and maybe they didn't really want to believe it, even if they did kind of have a little evidence here and there, maybe even circumstantial, you know, evidence. But I don't know, for them to just judge him so quickly with just screenshots on Twitter from people they don't even know. They've never even met these people before that are accusing their friend, and they've known their friend for so long. And for them to just jump ship so quickly like that, just from some screenshots that came out, which Crystalia has, you know, kind of refuted, I guess, but it actually, it's good and bad. It shows that he didn't knowingly engage with, you know, underage females, so that's good. But it's bad because it proves that he did engage with underage females, and some of them continue to do so even after he found out that they were underage. Well, and the thing is, he waited, though. He waited till this one girl, he found out that she was 16 or something like that, and then he waited until she was 18, and then he contacted her again. So that's a problem. And so I'm not trying to defend Crystalia. I'm just thinking, like, I'm just, wow, I care about the guy, though. I feel like he didn't do anything illegal, and I don't think that he knowingly preyed upon underage girls, like children. You know, I don't think he's like a monster, you know, like a sexual predator, like somebody who has an illness, you know, like a pedophile, where they're turned on by children, you know, by kids. You know what I mean? That's something terrible. Right, like the predators that lurk around elementary schools and kidnap those children, things like that. You know, those people, they need to be removed from society in a mental hospital somewhere and treated as a mentally unstable person, men with a mental illness that deems them unfit for society. You know, like, or I don't know, there might be a way to cure it, who knows. Maybe it's if because the brain is all chemical reactions, right? It's neurochemistry. Anyways, you know, maybe if they can tweak his brain chemistry somehow, you know, they can cause somebody to not feel attracted to younger people. I don't know, but I think until we figure that out, you know, let's just keep our children safe and get them out of our society, you know, get them out of like everyday society where they can come in contact with children. You know, let's keep them somewhere safe and treat them as a mentally ill patient, is what I'm saying. Is my opinion. That's just my opinion. But I don't think Chris D'Elia fits that category. I don't think he fits that definition. I think he's just a really creepy guy that got caught, and now everybody knows he's creepy. And because of that reason, everyone's distancing themselves from him, and they don't want to be a part of, you know, they don't want to be a part of his crew anymore, his gang, you know, like nobody wants anything to do with him. And I just feel like I understand. I do see, you know, that it is justified in a way, but man, he just had his first kid. You know, he's with the new girlfriend. I don't know. Maybe they got married. But, you know, new relationship, new child. I don't know, man. I just feel really bad for the guy. You know, I just feel really bad for him. And I hope that maybe after a few years, you know, because of course he probably has enough money where he can just ride it out for a few years. But maybe after a few years he can make a comeback, you know, maybe use it as material in the future, you know. I just hope that something like this doesn't cause him to go in depression, feeling like ostracized, you know, feeling like outcasted, feeling like rejected from the world, you know, everyone's making fun of him now. I hope that it doesn't cause him to feel depressed, and I'm sure it will. I'm sure, I mean, why it would be weird if it didn't depress someone, right? But I hope he doesn't like sink into depression, you know, and I hope he doesn't, you know, entertain any ideas of doing any harm to himself, you know, or anyone else. You know, I just hope that he gets through this and maybe uses it, he can use it as material later. And I don't know, like, who knows what the future holds, but I just hope he doesn't give up. You know, maybe share some of the lessons he learned, you know, maybe give it a few years. Like I said, just ride it out for a few years, and then, I don't know, maybe he can redeem himself somehow in the future. I don't know how. That's for him to figure out, if he really wants to, though. But, and I think that people do appreciate somebody who is sincerely apologetic, somebody who is genuinely remorseful for what they did, and they show us over the course of like years, several years, maybe like 3 to 5 years, just, you know, don't say you're sorry, show us you're sorry, you know, for a few years, show like this consistent behavior, show us that you really have changed, then I think that most people are willing to forgive. Because it wasn't a heinous act, in my opinion. And I have 2 young daughters. And trust me, if I felt like he was a pedophile, we wouldn't even be having a conversation about him. I just feel like people are labeling him as a pedophile unfairly. And, you know, I think sexual predator, I don't know, maybe, right? Or maybe he was just very creepy and persistent, you know? And there's no proof that he actually physically engaged with any of these women while they're underage, you know? And so, and he, in his apology, he even said that he's never engaged in any illegal, you know, interactions with anyone. He said that all his relationships have been consensual and legal. So I don't know, maybe people have just lost his trust in him. I know I have a little bit, so I don't know. It's like you got to take it with a grain of salt. Maybe we can trust him on that, maybe not, maybe we can believe him. But again, I think we'll just have to give it time. We'll have to see over time, over the next few years, see how he behaves. Because he still hasn't come out and said anything yet. His podcast, congratulations, it's been like a month almost since his last episode, like 3 weeks. So, Who knows? I don't know. I think maybe it's a good idea. I don't even know if it's a good or bad idea whether he stays silent for now. Maybe it's a good idea. Just stay silent for now. He already did, you know, tweet out, you know, the emails. So maybe that's enough for now. I don't know. But anyways, these are just my thoughts, my opinions on the guy. Shoot. And I guess, I don't know. I mean, I'm still a fan of his work because I do enjoy his jokes. So I don't, but I'm not sure if I like the guy anymore so much. So I don't know. I don't want to be so quick to judge either, you know, because I know that I've, you know, I mean, you're looking at a guy who failed a marriage. I got a divorce, you know, so I can't judge anybody. I failed at a lot of things, but I just, you know, but I came back from it. You know, I came back from failing a business. I came, you know, hopefully I'm making a comeback from the divorce. Things are much better now. And you just gotta not give up and just keep trying to be a better person. And I think if people see that, I think most people are eager to forgive because most people are kind. And that's been my experience. So just, I hope people consider this, just give him a little bit of slack. You know, he just had a baby and I'm sure things are not that great on the home front right now. So he is a human being, you know. Let's treat him with a little bit of grace, you know. But anyways, thanks for your time. I'm here at the gym. I was stuck in traffic this whole time. Can you believe that? Oh my goodness. That's why I decided to even record this and talk about it. So I was stuck in traffic anyways. But I'm here at the gym now. I'm going to go in and get a workout. I got to treat it like a part of my workday. Otherwise, I just won't do it. Once I get home, there's no way I'm coming back out. I convinced myself that I will, and it never happens. So I realize I cannot allow myself to trick myself. I just got to come to the gym before I go home and treat it as part of my workday if I want to be fit and healthy. So anyways, here I am. So I'm going to go in and get a workout in before I go home, walk my dogs. So thanks for your time. I appreciate it. And let me know what you think. If you know at all about Chris D'Elia and what's going on, if you've been a fan, message me. I'd love to hear what you think about the whole situation and whether you just hate him now and you're disgusted with him and you're not a fan anymore, you know, or if you're still a fan, you know, you think that people are judging him too quickly, you know, without all the facts coming out. You know, I mean, we didn't give him due process and people are just lighting him up. So I don't know. Just I'm curious to what you think, too, about the whole situation. Let me know. I honor the light in you. That's also in me. Namaste.